Your nightmare self is like your realest self, the person that you really want to be. And it scares you so much that you, because you don't know what people will think of you if you decide to step into that person. Deciding to be a nightmare is deciding to follow your passions, because it's gonna be terrifying along the way. But if you do it, it will bring you to the person you could never imagine, because it's the person that you were meant to become.
Alright everybody, and welcome back to the Transnational Perspectives Podcast. This is the show where we put nature in focus while sharing perspectives on society and culture across environments and landscapes. I'm your host Josh Bennett, recording live here in Oslo, Norway, bringing you conversations with researchers, artists, activists, educators, explorers, and all kinds of other people from all around the world who are here to share their experiences and efforts, give us some inspiration and some tools that we need so that you and me and we and all of us together can start working towards a socially and ecologically sustainable future today. As I love to say on the podcast, we must attack the issues of social and ecological injustice at large from wherever we may sit or stand. Now, in the intro, you are listening to the voice of our guest today, adventure filmmaker, storyteller, long-distance cyclist, Whitney Washington. Super grateful to have Whitney on the pod to share her incredible story about traveling across United States for over 3 months on her bicycle. But before we get into the conversation, here's some updates from our sponsors. Hi everyone, this is your host Josh from the Transnational Perspectives Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by, well, me, and hopefully soon, listeners like you. You know, after receiving a number of nice letters and feedback about the pod, I'm happier than ever to know that many listeners like you are finding these episodes useful in their research, classrooms, and other avenues of life. At the end of the day, this project is fueled by my ultimate desire to share stories about sustainable human nature connections and offer actionable solutions for you to engage in today. Honestly, I'd really like to produce more episodes and more often in a way that is sustainable. But let's be real, each episode takes a ton of time to make. As I'm working solo, aside from the generous times that our guests offer, with all the research, emails, interviewing, editing, and promotion, it takes up to 20, maybe more, hours per episode of work. This is why you may notice that sometimes there's some large gaps between episodes. It's not always easy for me to find the time to release consistently. So rather than forever trying to catch a rhythm, I'm gonna go with the flow. Luckily, most of these episodes are evergreen, timeless, and valuable, whether you listen to them now when I release them, or whether you listen to them maybe years from now. So I'm determined to continue building upon this audio compendium indefinitely, because I enjoy it and I believe it has value for myself, for others, and for the future. My current goal is about 1 to 2 episodes per month. Due to my lack of consistency, I can understand that not everyone might want to contribute on a monthly basis, and that's why I'm encouraging, for now, episode-based donations, tips, and sponsorships, rather than monthly subscriptions. So if you find this or any episode enjoyable, useful, please consider making a one-time contribution per episode in any amount that you choose. It all counts. You can do this easily via my website, www.transnaturalpod.com. Looking into the future, I'm open to sponsorships and grants, and I'm actively on the look for these things so that I may produce episodes on a more consistent basis. So if there's any individuals out there, organizations, academic programs, businesses, whatever, who may be interested, or if you have any suggestions in helping this project progress, please send me an email, thetransnaturalpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and now back to the show. All right, today I'm speaking with Whitney Washington. Whitney is an adventure filmmaker, storyteller, and long-distance cyclist. I first came across Whitney's work via Instagram in the summer of 2021. I, along with many others, watched for months as Whitney traveled by bike across the United States. Via social media, Whitney weaves followers an inspirational narrative tale of self-exploration while refurbishing a childhood bike and riding it 3,000 miles across the North American continent with minimal previous biking or camping experience. Whitney shows us the trials, tribulations, and joys of solo bikepacking and how recapturing one's life can mean challenging one's nightmares to live out one's dreams. So sit back and relax and enjoy as we pedal on through this conversation with Whitney Washington. See you on the other side for some reflections. Enjoy. Whitney Washington, thank you so much for coming on the Transnatural Perspectives podcast today to share your perspectives from across the world. Actually, I'm over here in Oslo, Norway right now. And where are you calling in from?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
Really? You're in Jacksonville, Florida right now. Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we're already starting off with something in common. I don't know why. Maybe I got it mixed up with your name. For some reason, I thought you were in Washington, D.C.
Oh, no. That's where I had started cycling from, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I live in Florida. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Then I say we have something in common because I'm actually originally from Florida. So I love it there. I miss it there. It's me. Are you originally from Florida?
Well, my dad was in the military. Mm-hmm. He's in the military. So we've moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. But Florida is definitely the place we lived the longest.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is the place you call home.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Fabulous. I'm jealous. I'm a bit jealous. So you're in Jacksonville, Florida right now. So I guess it's probably a lot warmer there than it is here right now.
Oh yeah. It's definitely getting warmer as time goes on. Sometimes it's cold still, but it is getting warmer. Definitely.
Yeah. Cause you're up in North Florida. So everybody thinks that Florida is just, Miami, everything below Orlando most of the time. They don't know about the really good part of Florida above Orlando.
Right?
Yeah. So tell me a little bit. I mean, of course, I just to let our audience know, you know, me and Whitney, we've been in contact for a little while. I've been following Whitney's story, cycling across the United States, going back to last summer. And we've just been in touch a little bit over that. And I was really interested and inspired, you know, checking out your Instagram and just kind of following your trip, you know, before the trip and during the trip and then reflections after the trip. And I don't want to give away too much. We'll get to it later. But apparently there's a new trip coming up and probably a lot going on in between. But before we get into all that, let's talk about just a little bit of like where you are right in this moment. So you're in Jacksonville, Florida. Place that I love very much. And can you just tell me a little bit or tell us a little bit about your environment and what does it look like around there in your neighborhood and what do you like to do around there in Jacksonville?
I pretty much like to, there's a lot of parks here. There's a lot of parks and I have nature preserves and I just like to explore. And since it's like by the beaches and there's a lot of camping, there's a lot of places to bike and walk and kayak. I love to kayak.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we do have a lot of rivers. That's so, yeah, it's just really nice to be outdoors here when it's not crazy hot with the humidity. But in general, it's a very chill place, mm-hmm. you know, but it is very big. So sometimes you don't want to leave your house because you're just like, you're going to be in the car forever just to try to get to the beaches or to get to somewhere on the other side of Jacksonville. So,
yeah, that is one thing that is, I mean, unique. I mean, particular of, I think, United States and definitely Florida. I mean, I believe I could be wrong, but Jacksonville does have some kind of like world, like biggest city or one of the biggest actual cities in the United States. I think it spans over about 5 different counties, doesn't it? A couple different counties.
It does. It's huge. Like my sister and I were making fun of it the other day. We were just like, you could be in the car for an hour and you'd still be in Jacksonville because it's just that big. Like for whatever reason they wanted to make Jacksonville that big, but yeah, it's a pretty big place.
And it's true. I mean, but what's really amazing about Jacksonville, and you can tell us more about that, because I passed through many times. I spent a lot of time in Jacksonville, but I'm sure you have much more in-depth experience, is that you really can be in, you know, at the beach 1 hour, and you can be out in the forest in a totally different environment, like the springs and the live oaks. And it's really an incredible place, actually, but it does involve a lot of driving and stuff. That is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I believe you got the St. John's River going through there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I live right next to it. It's a pretty nice river, but it's definitely unpredictable sometimes, you know, but.
Yeah. So I'm curious. So we first came in contact because of your great bike adventure across the United States. And this is huge, but like, have you always been an adventurous person, or like, how was it growing up in Jacksonville and your connection with the nature and whatnot? How has that been? How's that developed?
So, definitely, because since my dad was in the military, we moved around a lot. And so, like, every time we moved to a new place, my mom would just put us in the car and then we would just go explore. Mm. And so, especially when we lived in California, she just put us in the car and we went north, we went south, she could drive, and we just got to see a lot of environments. So, like, growing up in Jacksonville, my dad, he worked by the beaches. So there's just a lot of times, like, you have the beaches out there, you have like a lot of nature preserves, there's a lot of camping stuff, and near like the ocean part, that's like very interesting. And then you have like a lot of camping stuff going towards like northern Florida as well, and so there's just a lot of places to just go look around and see. But I really didn't get into camping until I did the bike trip. That was the first time I actually like camped by myself. I camped one time with my friend when I went to Colorado, and I stayed there for like a month or two, but for the most part, like, the bike trip definitely put me out of my comfort zone greatly. So
amazing. So and when you're not a big adventure cyclist, what are you up to in your daily life? Like, are you a professional cyclist in your daily life?
No, I got into cycling for the trip. I really didn't bike.
Really? Wow.
No, I had gotten back on the bike in 2020. Mm-hmm. I got my childhood bike like checked at the bike shop, and then I started riding my bike, and I was like, this is awesome. And then like 2021, I was like, I'm gonna bike across America. But like, day to day, I'm a filmmaker, and I edit for companies and events. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I pretty much do. But definitely 2020 made me want to focus on telling my own stories instead of like focusing on like commercial and corporate stuff anymore. So mm-hmm. that's why I kind of like shifted and was like, I want to see what it is I could create for myself. So yeah.
Right on. And is, I mean, so is that where this term that is kind of across your Instagram and what, recapturing life? Like, what's the background of that term?
Yeah. Recapturing life. I came up with that term maybe like 5-ish years ago. Mm-hmm. Because about 5 years, like before then, I really didn't think like exercising and being outside. I didn't care for any of it. You know, mm-hmm. growing up, I've always been overweight. So I just like kind of blocked out that thought process. Mm. But about 5 years ago, I started to do film work for a personal trainer, but this personal trainer liked to do a lot of work outside and just use like the natural environment to like move the body. And the terminology that they were using was just quite interesting to me. You know, it wasn't like the normal stuff you would hear in the gym. And I thought it was just interesting having the conversation of just, you know, moving your body and celebrating movement. And celebrating yourself and stuff like that. And so like recapturing life was just the idea of shifting my mindset and just like looking at changing myself for the better, and not just like trying to lose weight, but trying to understand how I want to use my body and being grateful for how it works and just looking at it differently. And so I just started to like dream about like what I wanted to do, you know, and started watching like through hiking videos and cross country videos and kayaking. I was like, I'd really like to do those things, you know. And as I started to find stories of fat people doing those things, I was like, that's interesting, you know. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna figure out how to do it myself too. And that really was the biggest thing for it, was just like allowing myself to tell my own story, like what is it that I want to do, and trying to figure out how to do it in my own way.
Wow, that's super beautiful. I mean, especially what you said about like, you know, celebrating movement. You know, this is something I can really identify with myself, because just, you know, especially, you know, working in the outdoors, I've not always been like an outdoor educator. I haven't always been like an outdoor guide and whatnot. I used to myself be quite a big kid, and, you know, the activity space is not usually something for, you know, overweight kids and whatnot to it's not a very friendly place, I guess we could say, you know.
Exactly.
so I really feel that, and it's really nice to hear that from somebody else, because that's kind of how I feel about it too. You know, people move in different ways, you know what I mean, and so much is kind of constructed for us. You know, you should move in this way, you need to do this kind of exercise, you need to look like this and be like this, and it restricts so many people just because we've kind of built it into this box that, you know, we need to be a certain way to celebrate movement. And what's greater than movement? I mean, we love to move around, and, you know, if we don't, then we don't move, and it's just great for our mind and our body and our health. And, you know, so it's all, I think, you know, celebrating movement and finding what kind of movement is good for you, you know, not necessarily like, you know, I've never been a big fan myself of the gym, I guess, you know, that could be from just growing up, you know, the way I did, you know, like I just kind of told you, you know, about how, you know, physical movement, the physical space wasn't always a very welcome space, you know, soccer, you know, teams and team sports and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I myself always been kind of a more like solo kayaker, biker kind of person. And, you know, if you can find some people that like to do that, that's cool too. But it's just nice to just, you know, move how feels good to you. And that's, you know, kind of what everybody just go out there and find a way that feels good for you to move, you know, even if it's just picking berries in the forest or something like that. Yeah, but all right, so anyways, that's good. So yeah, recapturing life, just going out there and kind of refinding yourself, you know, breaking out of the box that was kind of, we were kind of delivered in when we grew up. It's really nice. So, and let's get into it a little bit, and then I'll get onto some other things that I'm curious about later. But, you know, so give us a little bit of just an overview of your big trip that you went on last summer, your big adventure. Where did it start?
So it started in DC. I just took a train up there, and I tried to get on my bike, but it was incredibly heavy. So I was like pushing it until I was like, you know, I'm gonna get a lift to the trailhead. Uh-huh. So that's what I did, and it ended in Seattle. And
wow!
And by the time I got to Seattle, yeah, I was definitely very different cyclist. You know, in the beginning, I don't think I was able to go like a mile with that bike, but by the end, you know, I had an 87 mile day. And I was able to do like 50 miles a day pretty easy. So Yeah, it was a marvelous adventure for sure.
Yeah, and you said, like, you know, in 2020 you went to the store and you went to the bike shop and got your childhood bike fixed up, and then you were doing this in 2021. So how did it go beforehand? How were you like preparing to get started for this?
Yeah, in 2020 I had a friend who had sent me an article mm-hmm. about the trail that I had eventually went on in 2021. And that article had told me, showed about bike trails. I just didn't know bike trail or rail trails was the terminology. Mm. I didn't know those existed. And I started like Googling that.
And what is that for our listeners who might not know what that is?
So rail trails are railroad lines that they convert to like bike trails. Yeah. And so like they're pretty much like flat all the way through. There's not that much elevation. I think they say it's like 3% grade. It doesn't go above. And so they're like pretty easy trails that you can just bike through. And so the Great American Rail Trail, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it go from one side of America to the other side as this bike trail going across. Yeah. So I started just researching all that. And then I was like, you know, I think I want to try getting on a bike. And so I got my bike fixed up and I got on the bike, and, you know, the first day I probably didn't even go half a mile, but I was like, this is pretty great. And I was just getting on it every day and going farther and farther. I was just really excited about the progress. And then I kind of stopped riding the bike for a little bit, and I got back to riding the bike, and I was like, yeah, I think I want to go farther. I want to go farther. I want to see what it is that I'm capable of. And so I bought a ticket to the beginning of the Great American Rail Trail. And I was like, that's what I do. And I started to like gather the gear that I had. You know, at the time, I didn't have that much money for much stuff. And I was just trying to get like the basics. And that's what I did. I was like, I'm just going to wing it. We're going to figure it out. And that's what I did. And, you know, one thing led to another, and was able to go on that trip for sure. And it was quite magical.
Yeah. And I mean, trips like that, I mean, I can feel that, you know, they can be quite magical when you just kind of say, hey, I'm just going to see what happens. Who are we going to meet? Where am I going to end up? I mean, I think that already is really inspiring probably for a lot of people, because a lot of people, they feel, oh, I got to have, you know, everything planned out, know where I'm going to be every night, this, that, and the other thing. So, I mean, how did you navigate that? And I mean, were you any bit concerned about that, or really just like, I'm just going to wing it and see what happens?
So since the Great American Rail Trail was already like pre-made, the beginning of that trail is like two rail trails called the CNO and the Gap. And mm-hmm. both of those trails had like campsites all along that rail trail. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to use this as like training ground. And that was like my biggest thing. Like in the beginning, I was like, since there's already going to be campsites out here, you know, I'm just gonna let myself go as slow as I need to and just focus on getting from campsite to campsite as I go along, and mm-hmm. then try to get faster and stronger before I leave this part of the trail. And that's pretty much what I did. Like, I do recommend, like, if people want to try out a rail trail or try doing some kind of long bike trip, they can find where they can start, where there are like campgrounds in close proximity to each other, and they can just like ride 5, 10, 15 miles a day and just let themselves get stronger. It helps so much, because that's what I did. It helped me with confidence. It helped me learn about my bike, and it also helped me with like navigation as time went on. And so like once I got past that, going into Ohio, that's where I had to start getting better with navigating to where I was going to sleep next and where I was going to make sure I could get food and water and stuff like that. For the most part, especially in the beginning, it was in mostly cities, but obviously once you get into like Nebraska, Indiana, there's some sparse locations that just, you're just like out there. And so you need to make sure you have enough food and water. So yeah, it was just like learning as time went on, but I had prepared enough in the beginning to make sure I was good before I continued. So yeah.
Right on. So yeah, so I won't make you go through all of your gear and everything like that. But I mean, what would you say, like how you prepared for that? Just like reading, you know, what other people did beforehand, or did you bring anything, you know, specific with you? And did you find anything along the way that you'd wish you brought that you had to get along the way? That's a good one too.
Oh man. So yeah, the gear at the beginning, I definitely packed a lot because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Like, I had even packed like a camping toilet. Like I had
packed
a lot of stuff. And so like the first day, I slept at the campsite and then it would be like the second day. The second day I had actually got taken home by somebody I had met on trail. And I stayed at their house for a little less than a week, sorting through my stuff because I had a lot of stuff that was just unnecessary, you know. And plus, like, too, I had brought like a lot of my filming equipment and I had to get used to that down the road. But a lot of the stuff that I thought I was going to use, like, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to film every day. Mm-hmm. I had like all this kind of stuff and all that I just sent home. And so like the biggest things that were, and I definitely had to like get new stuff of, was I'd gotten a new tent while I was on the trail because I had a Walmart tent when I first went out there, and I slept in that the first couple of nights. And the first night was a thunderstorm.
It started raining inside your tent.
the rain was coming through, you know. And, but luckily, like, somebody had sponsored a tent and it had gotten to me in the mail. And that tent was far better, you know. And then, like, sleeping pad. Yeah, I had to upgrade the sleeping pad because, like, you're sleeping on the floor. You can't really have, like, you can have a cheap one if you don't want to sleep very well, you know, sometimes. And there's like those things that definitely had to adjust. But over time, there's a lot of stuff that I kind of sent home and I didn't use very often. So, the biggest two things were a sleeping pad and a tent. and a sleeping bag. I actually did have the sleeping bag for the longest time. But I eventually got one in Montana.
All right, where it gets really freezing cold, like even in the summer, I guess.
It was, exactly. So
yeah, I think this is wonderful though. This is classic learning by doing, you know, learning as you go. I'm doing it, I'm learning it, and luckily you were able to find solutions along the way. So this is, you know, this is really good. I think that's just as a PSA for all you people out there who are going camping or want to do outdoor stuff. It's not I know some of these sleeping bags and sleeping pads, they sound like, you know, it sounds like, you know, $150 is a lot of money or something like that, but it's worth it, you know?
No, I completely agree. Especially because, like, if you're sleeping on the floor, like, you gotta let yourself, especially if, like, you're gonna do some kind of, like, long adventure, you need your sleep. And if you're not comfortable and you're cold through the night, you're not gonna like it. You should invest.
Yeah, it's worth the investment, really is. And I always tell people, I mean, I remember, you know, when I first started like seriously buying camping gear and being like, oh man, wow, this sleeping bag costs $200. But that was like almost 10 years ago. I still have that sleeping bag. That's been my hotel for 10 years. So So it is worth the investment, everybody. You know, you got to avoid going to TJ Maxx or something. And you never know, you might find some good stuff there, but just be careful. Or you'll find out eventually. Yeah. So some lessons from the road, and that's really nice. So you met some nice people along the way too. So I mean, I was kind of wondering about that. You know, traveling such a great distance. How long did it take, by the way, from Washington to Seattle? How long was your trip?
About 3 months.
Three months.
Yeah.
And like, how many miles was that? Do you know?
I didn't record the miles. In general, the Great American Rail Trail is about 3,500 miles.
3,500.
I definitely took the. Like, I took the train to go see family in Chicago, and I took back. So there's times I let myself just, like, live life.
Yeah, I mean, who's counting, really? I think you said it. Yeah. You said it right. I was just living life. You know, there's a lot of great adventure and journey stories out there. Yours really caught my attention because there was this sense of wellness and self-care that kind of was really like a thread going through your journey that really appealed to me, because I'm just a big supporter of this. And like you said, it's, you know, numbers, who's counting? This is not a, I don't, you know, we don't need to be counting the Fitbit 24 hours a day. I just want to go have a good time. But the reason why I was asking about how long it took, because I was like, it's a long time to be out on the road alone on a bike. And, you know, honestly, and I'm from United States, but I've only done my most of my long distance biking has been in Europe. And I don't know, even as a U.S. American, I always think, oh, you know, biking in the United States even is probably a little bit sketchier than biking in Europe. So, I mean, did you have any like concerns, like, you know, were there any specific challenges, you know, being a lone person, you know, biking across America?
In the beginning, I think I had more concerns. I was definitely more afraid when I first started. But once time went on, my fears definitely started to drop. I wasn't as afraid of things. And I definitely think it was just, you know, allowing myself to just, like, I obviously had my specific rules. You know, I wasn't going to be out at night. And if I could stay off the road as much as I could, I would. And, you know, be aware of the people, you know, you interact with. But I didn't want to, like, put up too many walls. I wanted to just, like, exist out there. And so I tried to make sure, you know, I was definitely not being naive, but I was also making sure that, you know, if people were just being nice, you know, just let yourself be out there and let yourself exist. And for the most part, like, it was pretty good, like, pretty much in the beginning. Maybe there's like times where I was like truly afraid, you know, and those times were, I think only one of those times really had anything to do with me, like when my food bag was stolen. But other than that, like the other two times that I was like afraid, like, I guess I don't think I was anywhere near those people. Like, I could just hear them if they were like yelling or they were like somewhere in the distance, you know. It's just because you were out there and it was like the first night and you're just like trying to adjust to the environment. So, but yeah, over time, I wasn't as afraid as I started out.
Yeah, that's good. Because, I mean, you know, I think it's it is kind of a funny thing when you think about it. I mean, traveling around, you know, moving, celebrating movement any way you like on a bike or walk across America, Forrest Gump, you know, run across America 3.5 right. times, you know. I don't know. I think, you know, you're obviously a person that likes to do stuff like this. I'm a person that likes to do stuff like this. And after you do it for an extended period of time, you did it for a really long time. I've never been out on the road that long. That's amazing. But it does, I guess, it just starts to feel, oh yeah, this is a next kind of dimension of life, you know? becoming commonplace to sleep here, sleep there, not have a general plan, meet people along the way, stay at other people's houses. But I think for a lot of people, this is just a dream, or it sounds like something impossible to do. It's very out of context from like the majority of how people are living their daily lives, you know, at my house. I would never stay at some random person's house. I know I talk about Airbnb and they think that sounds kind of crazy. Like, oh, you're going to go stay at someone else's house. I'm like, okay, you pay and they're not there and stuff. But yeah. Right. So yeah, it is. So doing stuff like this, I mean, did you have any friends or family? Like, were they supportive of this? Or did they ever like, did they have anything to say about your journey?
oh yeah. So my friends definitely knew that I had wanted to do this for a very long time.
Yeah.
I had wanted to do like kayaking across America, longboarding across Europe. Like I just wanted to do some kind of like long distance, like adventure for the longest time. But like, obviously, my friend sending me the bike trail thing that really sparked me actually getting back on the bike, because I hadn't ridden a bike for like 10 years prior to that. But then when I like told my parents, my dad, you know, he wasn't like thrilled about it, but he was definitely very supportive. But my mom was like, people don't do that. You know, she completely did not like the idea whatsoever. Uh-huh. But obviously when I was out there, you know, she could see the pictures and she could see the video, and she was actually seeing me do it. And I mean, even since I've been home, you know, she still doesn't believe how I was able to do such a thing, you know. And then I saw family while I was out there, and they had the ability to see a lot of it as well. So yeah, like, it was definitely very hard for some people to like wrap their heads around it, because it is so kind of outlandish, especially me being of a bigger size. You know, like, they're like, no, maybe you should like lose weight first, like it'll be safer that way. And I was like, I could, or I could just like go on a bike and it'll be just fine, you know. And so for the most part, you know, it really had to be like me making the decision, like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And I know some of you guys don't understand fully, but you'll get it eventually. And I'll make sure I stay safe so that by the time you get to that point, you know, you'll definitely have more of an understanding, hopefully, you know?
Yeah. And it all worked out. And I mean, so you said, you know, you wanted to do the journey, the long distance journey for a long time. So like, what do you think that is? You know, what do you think's appealing about particularly the long distance journey to you?
I think in general, it's just like, you know, it's like, it's self-powered. It's just like seeing what your body, just letting yourself be out there and, you know, being respectful of what your body can do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've just always kind of been fascinated to know what I could do at this size, you know, and I've just wanted to try it. And I remember seeing like my first, it's funny, like the first one was a bike across America video. And I remember back then I was like, I could never do that. And like those times over the past 5, 6, 7 years after watching that video, you know, you just realize like, you know, all you got to do is do things like in your own way. And yeah, you can accomplish a lot of things. You know, you just got to figure out how to do it for you. And so, yeah, a big part of it was just, I just wanted to see what was possible for myself.
And what would you say was, what did you find out anything? Did you have any like nuggets? Like, what did you find out? Cause it's talked a lot about like the lead up, but what did you find out about yourself?
I found that, well, obviously in general, I am a lot more capable than I could have ever imagined, you know. But I think a big one was like, it's okay for me to go after what I want, you know, because it was such a big dream of doing this bike ride across America. And for the longest time, I kind of just like put really big dreams like in a drawer. It's like, that's crazy, you know, but it was like, as soon as I believed in trying such a gigantic dream, it was like kind of just fell into place. And just seeing myself every day out there on the bike, you know, getting into a rhythm, getting up early so that I could bike 9, 10 hours a day, and then being able to do more and more miles as the days went on, it was just like, you're doing amazing. Like, you're doing so awesome, you know. And it was just allowing myself to see, like, yeah, like, don't ever let somebody tell you that you're not capable of something. Like, see what you're doing. Like, you just went 87 miles. You just went 50 miles. You just got yourself up this really tall mountain. It's like breaking down those barriers that have made you feel so small for so long. It's realizing, like, yeah, you are very much deserving of this moment and this experience. And so that was definitely one of the biggest things, like, starting to just see myself and seeing why I really wanted to do these things for so long, and actually feeling it come to life, was like some of the biggest lessons for me, for sure.
Yeah, feeling it come to life. Because I think, you know, if you're doing something as such a, like, a kind of meditative but physical activity for long periods of time, you kind of just do get into, like, almost in your body, there's endorphins going and the serotonin's pumping and all the happy juices are flowing. And you know, so, I mean, it does make you feel just like heightened in many different ways. We talk a lot about, you know, oh yeah, you know, you should go exercise, you know, 30 minutes a day to improve your, you know, well-being. And these are great things to do. So imagine doing that for 8 hours a day for 3 months. That's just going to be a waterfall of happy juice, I think. So that's what you learned about yourself. What about other people? Like, do you have any, like, golden nuggets of thoughts to share with us about other people that you learned about along the way?
Yeah, I definitely think
pros and cons.
For sure. I definitely think, like, I don't know how the saying goes, but like, it's like something to the extent, like, people do care, like, they do want to be nice, you know? The fact that, like, there's just a lot of people that just, like, made sure that I was safe, made sure that I had enough, made sure that I got to A to B as safely as I needed to be, you know? Like, if they had prejudices or if they had fears or whatever, like, a lot of times I definitely wouldn't have never noticed, because 9 times out of 10, they made sure, like, I had enough, or I was safe, or I was in an environment that I had a roof over my head, or food to eat, or enough money to get food to eat, you know? That was, like, literally the theme of, like, this entire trip, the way that people made sure I was good. And, like, people would just, like, I'd just be out on my bike minding my business. People, like, stop me in their car, and they'd be like, so what you doing? And I'm just like, just biking across America. But, like, so are you, like, doing this for, like, a charity? I was like, no, just biking across America. And they're like, okay, well, can I give you this money just to make sure you have enough? I was like, sure, you know? And, like, I remember I was, like, out with my first Airbnb that I had ever had on the trip. It was in Ohio. And she had went with me to drove with me to like Walmart, and she had met one of her church friends. Her church friend just gave me like $20, and she's like, bless you, you know, that sounds like amazing. I'm going to find you on Facebook so I can keep watching, you know. And then she ended up paying for the stuff at the Walmart, you know, when we went to stuff. And it was just like, people do want to care. And, you know, we do. There is a lot of negativity when it comes to like the environment around us with the media and, you know, yeah. Just the environment around us, and just people just, they probably just don't do it because it's just like, why should I, you know, There's enough going on. And so like, I guess it's just like when you're just like one person, they're like, well, you know, I can help that one person. And that was definitely me a lot of the time. So.
Wow. That's so nice to hear actually, that like, there's just so much. Yeah, I think it's different, right? I mean, we spend a lot of our days just, you know, on the media somewhere in the media sphere, and the world looks a lot different on there. And then when you're, I mean, it definitely that harbors a lot of reflections of the world, of course, but there's something different about, you know, when you're actually like on the ground with the people in an experience and kind of probably riding with a cloud of good vibes around you, which helps out a lot when making human connections. You know, we build up a lot of and for good reason, and a lot of them, you know, can be justified, but there's a lot of, you know, kind of social constructions that we build around, you know, people and images and stereotypes and all this kind of stuff. Oh, you know, the people in North Dakota are like that or something like that, you know. People in North Dakota are pretty nice. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. What about, and I want to be respectful to your time. So I just have a few more questions for you, if that's all right. You know, what about on an environmental level, on like a nature level? Because I remember I was, you know, I was stalking you a little bit on Instagram, and I found this one post from, where was it? You said something like, I might be paraphrasing right now, but you know, so one post you were talking about saying hi to the animals, and a lot of the time they'll say hi back, you know, and that kind of touched me, because I feel like I've made this experience a lot of times too. So, I mean, in general, you know, how was your connection with the nature and the environment, and how did that maybe progress throughout this trip, if it did?
Oh yeah, the environment was interesting, you know, because if you were to say like weather-wise, there's thunderstorms all the way through for me. Like it was like they were following me. But then while you're just out there, you're just like, but that's okay, you know. You see the cows that just stare at you. The cows, they don't wave back or say hi back. They just stare at you. And then sometimes they'll like run away if you get too close. But then you got like the horses. The horses will come and see you. You know, I saw some, I think they were alpaca or llamas, one of them, whichever one. You know, and I saw, I think it was not a moose, but an elk. It was just an elk just on the side of the road in Montana, just in this grass. And, you know, in general, it's just like, I don't think I was particularly ever scared in nature. Obviously, you know, you had people like bears. I remember in Ohio, when I first got into Ohio, I think like four different people stopped me and were like, so yeah, there's a bear on the loose, you know, just be careful. You know, but I saw it on the news, and they're just like all telling me. And then that was literally the day of, night of, where my food pack had gotten stolen. It was that time. And, you know, so on Instagram, they're like, yeah, it could have been a bear that stole your food pack.
Oh yeah, for real, yeah.
I got pretty positive as a person. They're like, it could have been a bear. I was like, well, that was a very courteous bear. That bear did not touch me nor the bike. It only took the food pack. Like, I'm very happy about that bear, you know. But in general, like, I don't think I was too afraid being out there in nature. Obviously, like once you get towards like the west, northwest, the forest fires were happening. Mm. You know, and so like there was a lot of smoke. So I was like wearing the mask to bike through the smoke, really, because it was just getting smoky in Montana. And as you just got closer to Washington, it's just more and more smoke. And but just in general, just allowing myself to just exist out there in nature, it was pretty easy, you know. Like I'm not a very big spider person, but like I had to get used to it. Like there'll probably be a spider on the tent when I woke up, you know. It's just letting yourself just get used to the environment as you move through it. It's like it's their space. You're just living in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a really good point. It's I think the more time you spend, I remember I'm like my last bike trip, biking kind of the length of Norway, and we were biking and I remember after a while, I really felt like I was more in touch with the animals on the side of the road, you know, passing lots of farms and the road itself. That was like the homeland, you know, and once in a while, you know, these metal boxes with wheels would angrily pass by, trying, you know, speeding by. And I would kind of, you know, look over at the cows and the sheep, and we're still just going real slow, and look over and wave and say hi. And so you really start to connect so much, I feel like, because you're just a part of it. You're like, I'm not a part of that human world so much anymore. I'm more over here with the cows.
Exactly, just going slow. Oh no, I remember like there's this one time Google had led me down this one dirt road, this gravel road in Iowa, and it had like these two dogs, and these dogs were like barking at me, and I was like, dang it. And like, so they were on this side, and I had to go up a hill on that side, so I was like pushing my bike, and I was like, okay, so how do I make sure these dogs don't, you know, harm me? And in general, I sensed that they weren't gonna harm me. They're just being very loud. And so I was like, okay, you know, so I was just like talking to the dogs. It's like, you know, I'm just here, just biking along. And I was like taking out my beef jerky. I was like, you want some beef jerky? I was just like, give me those food. I was like, good puppies. And they were just like trotting along with me, you know, and I was just like not allowing myself to like get too worked up, like, oh no, today's the day that I'm gonna get bitten, you know. It's just like let yourself just, you know, not be so afraid, and you know, crazy stuff isn't gonna happen. And that was the biggest thing that I had to learn, was just like don't let fear, you know, shift the mood so that you can actually just exist in the spaces that you are. So
yeah, wow. It sounds like, yeah, you really like were very like kind of going with the flow and flexible, and just kind of, you know, letting that mentality, you know, of just like, you know, okay, we're just going to deal with it. We're here. We're going to be a part of it, rather than trying to. Was there any like really tough time that you ever thought about, oh, that's it, like I can't do this anymore, or how did you get through a tough time that you remember from the trip? Yeah.
There's definitely two. So you had like in the beginning, first maybe week, I definitely called my dad crying. I was like, I don't know why I'm out here. I can't do this. You know, I don't like the bugs. I don't like that it's so hot. This is so difficult. And he's like, you know, if you want to come home, you can come home. But, you know, you did put yourself out there. Give it a little bit more time just to see, you know, if you improve, you know. And then the second time was in Iowa, because like everybody and their mother was like saying, Iowa's flat. And then you get to Iowa and it's just these rolling hills.
Oh,
and then like you're going on, like Google sends you down these roads that have like no shoulder and then rolling hills, and then it was hot and there's no trees, so there's no shade. And I remember I was out there, it was just this one long road of just rolling hills, and I I threw like a temper tantrum. I was just like, what? What is this? Why does there have to be more hills? Why did they make the road? Like, you know, I was just going through it. I'm like, and then I had to like calm myself down. I'm like, what are you going to do? You're in the middle of the road. If you were going to go home, you would still have to get out of the rolling hills. I definitely was a testing ground. That made me a better biker because I was so angry with those roads.
Not another hill.
I was so annoyed. But I did. I started going farther and I was getting better with shifting and all that kind of stuff because I had to, you know, But yeah, Iowa made me really like think about like, why was I even out there? Like, why does this have to be so difficult? But eventually I got through Iowa and amazing. I got better.
I'm kind of like, I totally feel that. I'm laughing a lot over here because I feel like I had the same. I know exactly how this went because I went to Finland on a bike trip one time. And, you know, Norway, they're always like, oh, the big fjords in Norway, big mountains. And it's true. We have big mountains. You go up real slow and you go down real fast. And it's kind of predictable. Finland sounds just like Iowa. It's supposed to be flat as a pancake. No mountains in Finland. Up and down all day long, up and down, up and down, up and down. And people are speeding past it. And you're just like, what is wrong with this country? Finland, what's going on? Iowa, what's happening? All these rolling hills. Get some mountains.
I know. Like, why are people lying to me? You know?
But, well, those people were driving in cars. Right? It's a whole different experience when you're on a bike. Well, and you did it. You did it. So good job. We all made it back alive. And that's so true. Those little rolling hills, they're not even that big. Those are just smaller rolling hills on the bike trip. They can be torturous. Yeah. Yeah, it's a crazy experience.
Exactly.
Well, I want to be respectful to your time, but before we let you go, I just wanted to ask just real quick about or take as much time as you want to tell us a little bit about what the future holds for Whitney and biking adventures.
Yes. So I had decided that I was going to begin my like around the world bike trip with doing Alaska to Argentina.
Wow.
And I'm very excited for that. I start in July. And yeah, you know, it's just going to be me out there on the bike, just pedaling along, but also like exploring. Like I'm just really excited to explore. I've left the US like one time. Mm. And so this is definitely like my start of just like seeing new things and, but also just seeing myself in new spaces. But luckily, like before announcing this, I was able to find a friend who's going to bike with me for the Pacific Coast. So she'll be biking with me from Washington State to the bottom of California.
Wow.
And it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And it's funny because like the mountains and the hills, when I got home, I was like, yeah, that's a dread. But like, there's going to be a lot of mountains.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of mountains on this one. Yeah. You know, but I'm just like, let's go. Let's figure it out. Let's bring it on. Because I do look forward to just seeing what more is possible. So, yeah. Amazing. Alaska to Argentina.
And so you're going to start in July. And how do you have an idea? Are you just going for it? Or do you have an idea about how long that might take you? Or how long you're setting aside for that?
Just going for it. Since... You know, I made the transition that I really want to be an adventure filmmaker. You know, one of my goals is I want to create like a Discovery Channel style series.
Amazing.
You know, so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to figure out how to do such thing. And I want to make my series like a sustainable portion of my income and just be a content creator. So that's my focus, to just go and explore and create and tell stories.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. That is going to be awesome. Wow. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see this. You know what? We'll stay in touch. Maybe I'll try to come say hi along the way or something like that. I'll ride up on my bike. So cool. I'm really excited to see where you go and check out your content. And, you know, I mean, I've seen some of your films or short films so far, little tidbits and whatnot on your Instagram. And I enjoy that. And just like looking forward to more. Can you tell us where people can find your work and like follow your trip?
Sure. So yeah, Instagram definitely is like the more up-to-date one, instagram.com/recapturinglife_. Mm-hmm. But then you have youtube.com/recapturinglife is where the bigger series will go. And then I have the GoFundMe to help people want to support. Definitely appreciate everybody that's been helping with that. That's been amazing. And that is, I think it's like GoFundMe, Whitney's Bike Adventure. Ventures might be with an S, but all the links are on the Instagram and the beacon. So
the Recapturing Life Instagram. I will definitely leave a link for that. Before I let you go, I did have a question.
Sure.
Why Whitney is a nightmare?
So I want to. So for the whole idea of recapturing life, it's not only just like recapturing the life you want to live, but it's also just like creating the person that you want to become. And the idea of like nightmare to me is like your nightmare self is like your realest self, the person that you really want to be. And it scares you so much that because you don't know what people will think of you if you decide to step into that person, you know? And so like, for example, for myself, wanting to be a filmmaker and director, you know, tell my own stories. I put that off for so long because, you know, so worried of like, if I even had a story to tell. And so it's like deciding to be a nightmare is deciding to follow your passions because it's going to be terrifying along the way. But if you do it, it will bring you to the person you could never imagine because it's the person that you were meant to become. And most people don't get to see that person because they're too afraid to step into that space, you know? So it's just Whitney is a nightmare because it's just it's going to be a story about stepping into the person that I want to become. So.
Wow. That's awesome. So actually living the nightmare is kind of like living the dream.
Exactly. And I want to make like a whole story around it, and I've been working on it, but yeah, I just started to just post like Whitney's nightmare for now, and I'm creating the whole narrative. I think I want to eventually make like an actual film and everything, but just going in steps, you know.
Cool. Well, hey, Whitney Washington, thank you so much for coming on Transnational Perspectives and sharing your perspectives. Super
no
awesome.
No problem.
I really appreciate your time. All right, everybody, and welcome back. Thanks so much for sticking around and listening in on this conversation with our guest, Whitney Washington. And thank you so much, Whitney, for sharing your story and your time with all of us here on the Transnatural Perspectives podcast. So, of course, first order of business, first things first, please make sure everyone to follow Whitney's journey if you're on Instagram at the handle _recapturinglife. That's all one word, _recapturinglife. As well, if you're not on Instagram, anyone can visit Whitney's website at www.beacons.ai/recapturinglife. And there you can find Whitney's films, Whitney's GoFundMe campaign, and a whole lot more info on the journeys. Of course, I'll drop all of Whitney's links in the show notes. One gem I'd like to polish off a bit here at the end of the pod today is this idea that we discussed of celebrating movement. So much more to physicality than simply exercise. We are these upright, bipedal organisms, human machines designed for bending, throwing, tossing, jumping, picking, plucking, sitting, rolling, standing, running, crouching, carrying, digging, pushing, pulling, laying, and resting. Can you think of any more? So often society asks us to box ourselves into simplistic categories of popularized images and marketable activities, capturing our attention and self-expectations, exploiting our insecurities, fears, hopes, and dreams, limiting our own actions and access to the joy and celebration of movement. Like in Whitney's case, and maybe many of us can relate to it too, I know I can, we've got to find our own way that works for us, what feels good, and what is sustainable so that we can regularly celebrate our own bodies, turning our nightmares into dreams, because after all, they're the only ones we got. And that's our Transnatural Perspectives for this episode, everyone. If you found value in what you've heard today, please consider dropping me a donation for this episode or a nice note of feedback, ideas, or any questions you got at transnaturalpod.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time, get outside and get some perspective. Bye-bye. Greetings, everyone. This is your host, Josh here. Happy to say that the Transnatural Perspectives podcast is brought to us by listeners like you. If you find value in this show and you want to help it grow, please consider sharing this podcast, writing a review, and supporting the show. Head on over to transnaturalperspectives.com to learn more about how you can contribute as a monthly subscriber, as a one-time donor, as well as check out our blog. I invite you to contact me with any ideas you have for the show, if you'd like to be a guest, if you need a writer, or any other tips on further funding opportunities. I'd really love to hear from you. It keeps this show going, keeps me going. And with that being said, thanks for listening.